The Word of God in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, says this: Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need will be like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth, who winks with his eye, who signals with his feet, who points with his fingers, who with perversity in his heart continually despises evil, one who spreads strife. Therefore, his calamity will come suddenly, instantly. He will be broken, and there will be no healing. For there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among the brothers. Good morning. My name is Stephen. And I am a sluggard. What's your problem? I look the part, don't I? Don't answer. I wanted to visit with you for just a few moments this morning about who I am. And remember, have you seen those commercials on television? I think it's an insurance company, Allstate, where the man personifies mayhem. I want you to pretend along with me for a little bit this morning. Do a little role play with me. For when I say I am Stephen and I am a sluggard, you know I'm just pretending, because you know that I'm not. You know that I would never be one who would take on the characteristics that we find in the scripture that we just read. I will admit that being reminded of what an ant can do does rub me the wrong way. Let's just get into God's word and see what we find. A sluggard. We read from the book of Proverbs because the proverbial sayings of Scripture are just that. They are short, pithy statements that seem to move from one subject to another. They're almost poetic. They have rhythm. And it's within this backdrop of God's Word in our readings together that we have found the perfect example of many people who live in our world today. We found the perfect example of many people who belong to this church. Sluggards. That's an interesting comparison, because the slug, you know, is that slimy little creature who has no hard shell that seemingly makes his way to nowhere, and he does it slowly. The sluggard. The Proverbs, the God who created us, has chosen to describe some of us just like this. Well, here's what I want to do. I want to be totally upfront and honest with you, because I am a sluggard. So I wanted to see if maybe my testimony, if maybe some of the things that ring true with me, maybe I've got some people here in this crowd that would agree with me. And maybe before this service is concluded, you would have the courage to say like I did: good morning, my name is Stephen, and I'm a slugger. Let's talk for a minute about how I got here, how I got to this bark-a-lounger. You know, some people, this is their church. Some people aren't here today because we know where they are. They're at Bedside Baptist Church. Have you ever been there? They have a great pastor. His name is M.Y. Pillow, I've heard. There are a lot of us who spend our time there, but this just seemed to be the perfect venue to let you know a little bit about me, is to let you know how I got to this point, how I became a sluggard. And I'll tell you, the scripture is very clear. In order to be like me, in order to attain the status of a sluggard, you don't have to do anything at all. Do nothing. It's kind of like gardening. How many of you who have a place around here that has a yard, front and back, how many of you are bothered today by weeds? Just lift a hand. Okay. All right. If you didn't raise a hand, then you have AstroTurf in your yard. Or you have those little rocks that cover up everything. But if you have grass in your yard, you've got a problem. It's called weeds. Now let me ask you this. How many of you went to Home Depot or what's the place across the street? Lowe's. When you're a sluggard, it really doesn't matter. It's just, you know, they're one and the same. How many of you went to Lowe's or Home Depot yesterday when the weather was nice? And how many of you paid $50 for a sack that would guarantee that you would have weeds? Nobody. How many of you been feeding your weeds? Nobody. You see, what do you have to do to have what my granddaughter walking in the street will look at my yard and think it's the most beautiful yard in the world because it has these little yellow flowers, she thinks. And these little things you can pick up, dandelions, and blow them. She thinks it's beautiful. But we all know better. They're weeds. They're worthless. And how did I get them? I did nothing. I didn't do anything. That's how I got to where I am. Now, a lot of people, and I've read all the Bible studies about who I am, about being a sluggard, and they'll often use the word procrastinate. That's such a long, drawn-out, multi-syllable word to simply describe the simple fact that, for me, I just say, I'll do it later, which really means never. You see, to get where I am, to be like me, you take all those statements like, hard work pays off later. And you say, but laziness pays off now. Because it does. I heard an amen. That's the first time I've had an amen in over a year in this church. You talk about the power of the cross, people sit there. You talk about God forgiving sin, people sit there. But you talk about laziness, amen. Because you see, I am a sluggard. And the scripture tells me how I got there. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? My answer is, verse 10, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. To get where I am, to reach my pinnacle of sluggardness, just do nothing. And I guarantee success. Another thought while I'm sharing with you my sluggardness is you can watch me work because people like me have a very, very set job description. We do. And you can watch us work. Now, I want to build my case because God's word just directed people like me, if people like me had a notion to change. If someone like me decided to get up from where I am and, oh, that feels so much better down here. But if someone such as I would want to change, God has directed me to His Word where He compares the job of a sluggard, the life of a sluggard like me, with that of an ant. It's a little bit downgrading and humiliating to be compared to an ant, but you just saw what those ants were doing in that cute little video. And if you go back to God's Word there in Proverbs 6:6, He says, go and look at the ant, O sluggard. So He puts my name in there. Observe her ways and be wise. Having no chief, no officer, no ruler, she prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. Just such thoughts just make me tired. But what does the ant do? Well, it's very clear. The ant doesn't need a boss. The ant doesn't need a superintendent. The ant doesn't need a captain or a chief or a ruler. The ants just get the essentials done, don't they? That's how God created them. And these puny little insects that are supposed to teach me something, I resent it. But the ant, I will admit, they get the essentials done first. It's as though that they are so busy. It's as though in their mind, if they could think, and I know they're not people, they're not human like you and me, they can't think and have logical consequences like we can. But if they could, it would almost be like they're going to say, we're going to do the work first so that we can relax later. That's a novel thought. And all these ants do what they do with seemingly no thought of recognition. They don't have to be applauded. They don't have to stand up and take a bow. You don't have to write them a thank you note. You don't have to remember all the things about good manners. It's as though these ants, if God wanted to give me a message, if I wanted to change, and I certainly don't, but if he did, there's a lesson to learn from them. But on the other hand, I'm a sluggard. And I want you to take note of my way of doing things. God's word's pretty clear about it. God has a pretty good idea about people like me. I acknowledge he created me. I acknowledge he has what's best for me. But I've decided to just sit back and do nothing and watch the weeds grow. Oh, but wait a minute. Sorry. Had a lazy thought there for a moment. What about me? Well, you've noticed people like me. One thing you'll notice, and I'll admit, is that we have a problem getting started on anything. We're not self-starters. We're not even coerced into starting most of the time. So you'll notice that a person who is described like me, if you were to say your name, and I am a sluggard, then you would notice that you too have the same problem I do, and that is we have trouble getting started. But I'll tell you what my problem is here. I am a sluggard, and I have a problem getting started because of problems. Problems. When I look at a situation, other people, some people up there and some people up there in that corner of the balcony, when you see something that needs to be done, you don't focus on the problems. You focus on what the solution would be. But you see, I don't. Because I'm drawn to all of the obstacles. I'm drawn to all of the problems. And I promise you, you can talk yourself out of doing anything. Even the simplest of tasks, you can talk yourself out of doing them if you see the problems that are there. Well, that's me. You'll also find that I'm restless. I mean, I'm comfortable here in this Barca lounger. But, you know, basically, I'm a restless person. I can groom myself. I can dress myself. You know, a lot of people think sluggards and lazy people can't brush their teeth or comb their hair. That's not true at all. I can dress to the nines with the best of you. But down deep inside of me, there's this restlessness. And it might be because I have trouble getting started, I'm not sure. But there's just always this gnawing in me that the best way I know how to handle it is just to... Here it is. Something else you'll notice about me, I've been accused of this, and I guess I just have to say, guilty as charged. When you work with other people, if you're like me, all those people around you kind of lose heart over time. They kind of become like me. Some people say that my attitude would destroy the very spirit of a group that's trying to reach a common purpose. Some people would even say that people who have attitudes like me in a church would destroy the spirit of a church. Keep a church from reaching its goals. I guess I just need to sit down and relax and think about that. Because if you watch me work, I'll be the first to acknowledge that you'll never really get me to start anything. And if I do start something, it won't last long. And I'll spend most of my time looking at everybody else, and I'll look the part, but there'll be a restlessness that if you really look close at me, you'll see. But deliberately trying to destroy the people around me? No. No, I take exception with that. I really had never thought about it in that way, to tell you the truth. Well, there you go. Next thing about me, you're going to find that I'm very defensive. Very defensive. Because for every single one of you that's going to point a finger at me, I can just point it right back at you. Because you've got your own problems. You've got your own hang-ups. And the best way for me as a sluggard to handle my laziness is to deflect everything that you're going to put toward me and put it back on you. So you'll find me to be defensive. You don't want to cross me in that. I may seem easygoing and lazy and kick back like this kind of guy, but if you really needle me, then you're going to find that you're going to have more problems and more trouble than you ever counted on. But just keep that in mind. Some people say that when sluggards like me really work and we're doing our job well, we're just described basically as quitters. We just quit. And I'll admit, I'm the guy that I love to fish, but you think I'm going to clean fish? No way. I'll quit. I'm a sluggard. I love to eat. I'll sit down with any of you, and I'll put you to shame on eating, but washing dishes? Nah, not for me. No way. Finishing that extra room that Marcy wants to add to the house? Okay, I'll do it. Paint it? Get it finished? No. I got a tea time. See, I will admit, people like me, we're quitters. We quit. Just don't have it in me to start something and then finish it. And then you'll also notice about me, because I admitted I am a sluggard, that not only am I all those things I just mentioned, but you talk about excuses. I can make excuses for every behavior that you find offensive in me. You know, it was amazing. The other day I was at a store, and you know, this world we live in today where everybody's got their own cell phone. I mean, people just talk on the phone in front of each other. I mean, you hear all kinds of things. And most of the time it's too much information. You know, whatever happened to the old days of the payphone booth where you went in and shut the accordion door, and if you had a quarter, you could talk for a few minutes, but no one else had to listen to you? Well, not so today. Just the other day, in the convenience store in line, this teenage kid pulls out his iPhone, dials a number, and this is what he said. He said, "Sir, are you looking for a hardworking young man to work for you? Oh, you already have one? Okay, thank you." He cut off the phone, was smiling. I couldn't help myself. I'm a sluggard. I had to find out about this. I said, "Kid, what's going on? Why are you happy? You just called a guy and asked him if he could use a hard-working guy, and he already said he had one." He smiled and he said, I called my boss to disguise my voice. I just wanted to hear what he thought about me. And he's got a hardworking young man. It's me. You think I'd ever do that? No way. I've got an excuse for everything. Every job I've held for 5 minutes. Well, you know how it goes. Especially if you're a sluggard like me. I'll leave you with these words. There's one part of my personality that is probably the best part of me. And this is where I can fool a lot of people. I call it selective sluggardness. And this is what I do to get around a lot of you. This is what I do to fool a lot of you. Is basically back so many years ago when I felt like achieving some things, I came across this thought one day. I am hard at work in 9 out of 10 areas of my life. And I deserve for one of those 10 to be lazy. Gotcha, didn't I? See, you work hard at some things, especially those things where people see you. You give it your best effort, especially when people are watching. Oh, you work hard because you want to make the money so that you've got the time to sit back and do nothing. But down deep inside, you selectively choose the areas of your life where you feel you've earned the right to be lazy. Let me think. Let's think about it for just a minute. I give every bit of my work week to my job. But when it comes to my relationship with God, I'm lazy. See, there it is. I selectively choose. I'm going to give it all to my job because if I don't, Uncle Sam's going to come after me or my boss is going to fire me and I'll get the fire lit under me. But when it comes to opening the Bible, when it comes to praying, when it comes to church, don't have to do anything, do you? Or maybe it's something like this. I've got enough money to live on and do some extra things with, and I'm really, really on fire because I can surf any net and find you the best deal, and I've got coupons running out my ears, and I can get 2 for 1, and I can get the best buy for the money, but when the offering plate is passed to church, no thank you. I selectively choose to be lazy because you see, 9 out of 10 areas of my life financially, I'm on top of it. I deserve one area to let slide, don't I? Let it be God. Or maybe it's that effort you put into volunteering, or at least that's what you call it. I just pick and choose those things where I'll have fun, where it benefits me, where people will see me and think better of me because of my effort. But when it really comes to what they want me to do at church, what they call out volunteers for, well, I don't have any little squirts running around the house. Why should I have to watch any of them? Help people up there getting baptized? They need volunteers for that? Let someone else do it. Teaching a class? Whoa! I'll just sit back and do nothing. And surely somebody else will step up. You see, folks, these Proverbs, They aren't so proverbial in the sense that they just hop from one subject to the next, at least not here. Because I truly believe that these verses about the sluggard and then about the seven things that God hates are all linked to someone who sits in a chair like that. Those seven deadly sins, we call them. Did you care to count how many of them have something to do with the body? It's figurative. The haughty eyes, the lying tongue, the hands, the heart, the feet that produce lies and spread strife among brothers. You see, our sluggardness, our laziness hurts others. It hurts the plan of God. It destroys our own lives. I just thought you'd like to know. Father, we come before you today. And Father, my prayer of confession is, forgive me for laziness. Forgive me for all the things that you described in the sixth chapter of Proverbs and in other places as well. And forgive us for thinking that we can just sit back and do nothing. Father, it is my prayer that in these closing moments of our service, that you would wake us up, that we would change our hearts, that we would make choices that honor you. It's in the name of Christ I offer this prayer. Amen. Some serious things to consider. We offer an invitation as we close this service this morning. And please know that the comments that you just heard from God's Word and from my own mouth were a mixture of things that bother me, that I'm guilty of, that perhaps we're all guilty of at times. And there are things that we looked at this morning that absolutely have no place in the life of a child of God. They have no place when we're considering how important the task is that God has given to this church and to the people who congregate here and the people who live out their Christian lives throughout the life and ministry of this church. We have invested too much, not just materially, but millions of dollars, yes. But we've invested too much in the lives of one another to live lives sitting back and being sluggards. So I want to ask you this. It could well be that you're here today and you've never even taken the first step of faith, and that is to become a follower of Jesus. Maybe you've been so filled with laziness, it's never crossed your mind that eternity is out there and that the time is running short. And maybe you put off that choice to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin because he died on a cross that you might be forgiven, as well as in my own life he did it for me. And so I would ask you to respond with that first step of crossing the line of faith and saying, yes, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I want to be your follower. Maybe laziness in your life is the fact that you know the Lord, but you've yet to ever really profess your faith to him. Maybe you've been too lazy to come up in the waters of this baptistry and be baptized as you've been commanded, as I've been commanded. It's a symbol, but it's a command nonetheless. Maybe laziness in your life is a simple fact that you come in and sit in a pew, kick back. You give a little bit here and there. You might actually serve somewhere. My goodness, thank you. But it's all really just a facade, because down deep inside, you won't become involved. You won't join this church. Why? Because you're lazy. And then maybe you're here today and you're one of those selective sluggards. Just go ahead and fill out the list. How many things are you doing with all the efforts you can muster. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't care how many there are. And then yet you're saving this little short list. Maybe one, maybe two things just to balance out things. And you deserve to do nothing in those areas. Really? Is that what you think? Is that what I think? Folks, if there's ever been a time to just make a stand, to plant a conviction, we can't work for our salvation. We can't earn God's favor. But I tell you what we can do. We can decide that we're going to turn away from a life of sluggardness, of being lazy, and let God's Spirit energize us and show us what He wants us to do. That's the invitation. So I don't know how that affects you. You might even just pray, Lord, you know my name. My name's Stephen. I'm a sluggard. Help me. And He will. That's our invitation. We stand together. We have ministers and deacons standing here waiting for you to step out and come forward. Won't you do so right now?